I'm only going to read two verses. And a friend that calls quite often said, well, you could spend years and years on the life of Joseph. And I said, I know. And I'd be delighted to finish out my ministry on his life only, because he represents the Lord. He is a type of our Lord Jesus. So when I mention Joseph this morning, I want you thinking above Joseph, and I want you to think about the Lord Jesus. For it all has to do with him. If you do not find him in all the scripture, you've missed it somewhere. For all of it is about him. Beginning at Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he expounded unto them, those disciples, the things in scripture concerning himself. Well, Genesis was written by Moses, and it's concerning our Lord Jesus. Would you bow with me as we seek our dear Father's face? Unto thee, O God, do we look. And only in thee do we have hope of divine help. Now in time and in passing from this old world and walk here, our only hope is in thee. Not what we've done, not what we did in reference to the Lord Jesus, but what he did for us. I pray that you might this day, to all of the children here, give them a greater love, an appreciation, a thankfulness for thy grace in bringing us into a knowledge of Christ the Lord our Savior. I pray you might help those that are outside him, that this day might be on that broad road, having entered through that wide gate, but they think it's all right. And these young ones whose hearts have not been yet opened, oh my Father, would you have mercy and do that which we've not seen in years and years, and that is true conversion, workings of the Spirit of God. Now help not only these, but the preacher, for Christ's honor and glory. In his name we pray. Amen. I only have one other passage. I think I only have one other passage that I want you to turn with me in a few minutes. And as has been the case for the last few times here, hold on to Genesis 42. We're coming back here. But in verse number 7, and I would like to speak to you this morning on this, Joseph made himself strange. That is, to his brothers. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, Whence come ye? They said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Now before I look or we consider the thought of Joseph making himself strange, now keep in mind, I remind you again, this is of the Lord Jesus. He's speaking, it is a great type of him. Probably the greatest type in all the Old Testament, as far as a human being, will be found in the life, manner, and character of Joseph. No man throughout the Old Testament, or types, or ceremonies, or any of that they were required to do, manifest more of the Lord Jesus than did Joseph. But before we look at, he made himself strange unto them, I want you to consider two things mentioned prior to this. Number one, he knew them. There's nothing outside or beyond the eye of omniscient God. He knows all things. He sees all things. Second Chronicles 16, Zechariah 4. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, 2 Chronicles 16, where that is, it goes on to explain why. But God's eyes are over you. Whether you are asleep, whether you are driving to work, at home, whatever you're doing, God's eyes are upon you. Nothing outside, beyond God's visibility. Acts 15:18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knew what he was going to do, when he was going to do it. Before he ever created the world, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet not one of them shall fall to the ground without my Father. He knows. Are ye not of greater value to my Father than the sparrows? Even the very hairs of your head, God knows. You can't do anything. You can't say anything, or you can't think anything that God doesn't know. There is no place that the wicked or his wicked deeds can be hid from God. No place. You might think darkness covers it. It does not. At the same time, there is nothing that the righteous man or woman might do as far as good works that is hid from the Lord. How could God Almighty pronounce a correct and just sentence against anybody if he didn't know all things? It won't be haphazard. It won't be guesswork. It won't be because there were other witnesses that stood alongside you when you stand at the judgment of God. There's you and the Lord. Joseph knew them. Nothing is hid. If there's one small detail in life, your life, that could escape the eyes of God, justice could not be served. You could get away with something. Or you might do something and God not see it, something good. Those on the right hand in Matthew 25, they said to him, Lord, when we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink, or a stranger and took you in, or sick and visited you, or naked and we provided clothes for you, when did we do that? Well, he knew, he saw. And there might not be anyone but you and that stranger and the Lord that knows what you did for that soul. But he knows. He knows why you did it. He knows what your purpose and intent of heart was when you did it. And it's all recorded. And according to your works, be they bad or be they good, every man shall be judged according to his works. Now, in our land, a judge or jurors can only go on the testimony of witnesses. God won't call one witness. Did you live with this one? Did you know this one well? Did you work with this one? Were you there when this took place? Can you tell me exactly? Not one. Won't be a witness against you. Won't be one for you. Just be you facing what you've done, whether good or whether evil. Joseph knew them. Now they're in ignorance. Now we think the darkness of night can cover our deeds. They can't. We think we get outside mom and dad's sight that they won't know what we did. Better be careful. They'll always come back. Somebody, somehow, is going to let them know. Because God's put them over you. They didn't know. They can tell by your behavior. They can tell by your behavior around them. They can tell by that on your face, expression on your face when you come back. And you've been out playing with the neighbor's kids and you've done that which you shouldn't have done. You come back. There's just something about it that gives you away. And that's our God. But previous to this statement, Joseph knew them, is this. Joseph saw. Now these are the two words. His brethren. There is an eternal bond between the Lord and His people. We didn't know about it when we were outside Christ. We didn't have a clue about it prior to conversion. But there's always been a bond between the Lord and His children. Then shall the king say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A people and a preparation. God knew who they'd be. God brought them into the fold. And when they get there, He said, you're blessed and this has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Nobody gonna slip into heaven and God didn't know about it. And God didn't act upon it for them being there. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. You think God chose you when he saw you starting to do good, or you going to amend your ways, and God had a change of mind, and all of a sudden he said, well, I believe I'll let them into heaven. No, chosen before the foundation of the world. But it goes on that you should be holy and without blame before him. Now Joseph had placed in his hands and under his authority all goods needed to sustain life. Everything. And all the Egyptians began crying to Pharaoh, and he said, go to Joseph. If you want something, you're going to get it through Joseph. He fed all Egypt. He fed all people from other nations that came down to Egypt to get corn and food. But it cost them every one. It cost them their cattle, their land, and then it cost them themselves. And they were all servants and slaves to Pharaoh. Now the wicked breathe God's air, and they eat God's food, and they dress with clothes that God has provided for them. And they find love, have families because God gave them to them. And they think that they got all this because they worked for it and labored for it. And they breathe in God's air, drink God's water, and eat God's food without ever having a thought of God. But listen to me, payment shall be made. But to his brothers, everything is given. And when they went back home, they were astonished when one of them took down his sack of corn, and in the mouth of that sack was the money he took to buy that. Everything was given to them freely. Didn't cost them one thing. Even the land of Goshen, the best part of Egypt, was given to them, and they didn't pay for it. Now the reason everything comes so freely, or came so freely to them, and so freely to you and me, is that our Joseph paid for it. Well, I works how I obtain my food. Okay, who gave you the energy? Who gave you the strength to get up and go? Who gave you the job? Well, I labored for the house I live in. Again, ask yourself, somebody paid for it. There's no free handouts with God other than to the children in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely. But it's going to come through him. Not your labors, and you must labor for your food. Not your ability to get a good job and keep a good job or have a career. It's freely given to you through Joseph. God delivered up his son as God delivered up Joseph to cruelty and bondage and turned over to wicked hands. And so he could freely give, because he had purchased it for his family. And so Christ our Lord has purchased everything for us. Isaiah 55, oh, everyone that is athirst, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy. Yea, come eat without money and without price. So his brethren an eternal bond. He knew them, and all-seeing, all-knowing God. But to dealing with our text, He made Himself strange to them. Joseph acted for a good while what appears to be contrary to his own nature. But if you'll just get through it all, and then the coming events as the scene unfolds in his and his brother's life, you'll find out that though Joseph appeared different than who he was, his character did not change. He remained who he always had been. Strange. Made himself strange. To act or treat as foreign or disguise himself. Now let me get you to turn to 1 Kings 14:5, and there'll be, you'll see this, these words. Made himself strange. You'll see them used, and I believe this will bring clarity to the meaning of it. Did I say 2 Kings? 1 Kings 14. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he's sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself another. That's the same Hebrew word as in Genesis 42:7, made himself strange. She's going to act to you like she's someone other than who she is. Now Ahijah couldn't see, but God, seeing all things, told him what was going to be. And said, she's coming, and she's going to act like she's not Jeroboam's wife. She's going to be make herself strange to you, but you'll know when she walks in. And she walked in, he said, come in, the wife of Jeroboam. And Joseph's brothers are not going to know about that for some time. Let me ask you a question concerning Joseph, and I can't remember who some of the writers were that it was very offensive to me years and years ago when I read it, when they accused him of being vindictive and evening the score with his brothers for what he did. If that's true, he loses all credibility as being a great type of the Lord Jesus. Was Joseph vindictive when he made himself strange? N.O. Now listen, children, you know this. You hear it on the airways, everywhere you turn. God is love. That's true. God is full of tender mercies. Again, true. God's compassion fail not. All that is scriptural. Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. God is who He is. God is unchanging. Yet, that's not the beginning of God making Himself known to one under conviction. He'll never appear to a sinner that knows he's a sinner. He'll never appear as a God that loves, or a God whose compassions fail not, or He's always full of tender mercies. God in the beginning, dealing with any convert is going to appear strange, especially in our day and the language that is so spread today. God appears to that sinner demanding, holy, so holy that you don't think that you can approach him. You feel guilty in trying to get there. You can't see his heart. He's made himself strange. You don't know he loves. You don't know. We, the children that have been studying for years, don't know the fullness of the love of God that passeth understanding. But God's very demanding, and he sets before that convicted sinner, which we haven't seen in years and years, sets before that convicted sinner a law as a schoolmaster. And it says, if you want to get to God, you've got to be thus and thus. And then we just give up because we know we can't come up to the standards of a holy law. It's just God appearing, manifesting himself strange to a lot of passages, contrary to his heart, full of love, contrary to his heart, willing to forgive. Law comes first. Boy, we've done away with that. Comes first is that old harsh taskmaster. And all a sinner ever feels under conviction is justice and the rigid demands of a holy God. He feels the weight of the eternal wrath of God. He feels himself under the condemnation of God. And that's gone from what we call the gospel today. We just go out and hand them a few verses that God loves them. That's not how God appears. It is unbelievable to an awakened sinner. None today has any trouble believing God loves them. None. But it's unbelievable to an awakened sinner that God could love one such as I am. So Joseph made himself strange. And he spake roughly to them. Hard, cruel, grievous. That's not the Joseph that we know, that we've read about. That's not his character. But he made himself in their eyes to be another. And he will not reveal his heart to them till their sins are brought to bear upon them. You'll never know about Jesus till you become aware that you are a sinner. He even hid his tears, his heart, from them, before them, acting hard and cruel and grievous. Yet all the time his heart was broken, grieving for them. And he'd go away and hide in the closet somewhere, dry those tears up. He's not going to let them know who he is until they're in a right frame to know him. Joseph knows their only place of security is near him, but they'll never know if we don't get near him. We're going to die in this famine in 5 more years. They'll never know that their life is dependent upon them being near him. Never. Until they face their wicked plots. Killing him. Selling him. as a slave. You think Joseph changed as he acted this way? No. Those two prisoners were brought into him and he said, "Why are you so sad today?" He's looking after them. But he didn't act that way to his brothers. He acted strange to them. But he's got a higher end for his 11 brothers. And he will torture them for 3 days in prison. And then he'll keep Simon and he'll send them back and keep him in prison. I often wonder, Simeon. I wonder if Simeon was a ringleader and wanting to kill him. I don't know that. But then they come back the second time and he puts his cup in Benjamin's sack. And he gave him 5 times as much as he did the other brothers. Because see, it was their jealousy over him, for him, that got him in trouble. And he's seeing now, you still jealous? You going to act the same way towards Benjamin as you did towards me? You still jealous? Remember when his first son was born, he called him Manasseh, and he said, because that name God hath made me forget. If he's doing all this because of vengeance or cruelty, he didn't forget what they had done to them. But he forgot as far as it having any effect upon him. People are going to say hard things about you. They're going to act at times mean. But you cannot let that affect you. You can't dwell on it. If you dwell on it, you just get madder, more vindictive. And there is hidden in all our hearts pride about us that nobody should talk to me that way or nobody should act towards me that way. You got to let it go, children. So Joseph wasn't acting out of cruelty because he had forgot as far as their deeds having any effect upon his daily life. But he made himself strange to them and he spake roughly to them, and it would have been a weakness and blameworthy in him to have revealed himself prior to them acknowledging what they'd done. And him telling them, "I'm Joseph. You're down here because famine's in the land and famine's going to be in the land 5 more years. But I'm Joseph, I'm here to look at you." He didn't intend on letting them know he's going to take care of them or who he was. So they began connecting their deeds. And in prison, I said, "Now we remember when we cast him in that pit and he begged us for water. Remember that it was their deeds that caused his sufferings." And they said, "We are verily guilty. God has found us out. You'll never hear from Christ in your heart as my brother, my espoused wife, my friend. You'll never hear until you first have been made guilty and realize it was your sins that cost him. He paid for them." Now, folk, his heart is still towards them, even hiding himself and weeping for them. His emotions overcame him. But he was not going to let them know who he was until they became aware within of the cruelty of their actions. And you as a parent, If you do right by your children, at times you've got to overcome your love, your pity. You got to put all that aside, and you got to discipline them for wrong deeds. Well, they're too sweet. I'll go on, let them live like that. And you're going to raise them for an eternal judgment. Rod of correction driveth foolishness that is bound in the heart of the child. Many stripes heals him. It's hard for you to punish. It's hard for you to say no. But just give them what they want. Let them do what they want. But Joseph dared not do that. Nor will our Lord do that. I mean, you can pitch a little temper tantrum, laying on the floor, squalling, and pleading because you don't like the situation you're in. He's not going to do that. He's not going to help you up because you're crying and begging. He's not going to help you up. He's not going to make you know I am thy brother until you are aware my sins put him on the tree, put him in prison. Now, if you'll turn back and we'll begin to bring it down to a close, Genesis 42. Genesis 42 and verse number 8. Go home and remember, Joseph made himself strange. Joseph spake roughly. But the intent was to get them to where they need be. And acknowledging their wrongdoing and their sin. And then he's going to reveal himself. Now verse number 8. Joseph. And Joseph knew his brethren. We already looked at that. They knew him not. They had no reason to suspect this man could be a brother. Been over 20 years since last they saw him. He speaks now a different language than they do. His youthful appearance has disappeared over time. And they could not imagine that their little brother was in such a place of authority. I mean, before all he did was take care of the chores around the keeping of the sheep and around the house. All he did was the minimal chores. They did the big one. That's how they thought of him. Just a younger brother with lesser duties. Now he's ruler over all Egypt, and all storehouses are under his control and dominion. And they had no reason to think that's our baby brother. No. And then when his rough, stern, strange behavior had accomplished its purpose, they said, God has found out our iniquity. When they acknowledged what they had done, his true character is revealed when he knew they had taken responsibility for their sin. And the last act that he did was he put his cup in Benjamin's sack. He said, servant, go out and catch him. And whoever's got my cup, bring him back. And before they were out to destroy him, but Judah got down before him and he said, "Oh, let not my Lord's anger burn. Hear me. Keep me and let the lad go back to his father." That's a total different Judah than one of the instigators and one that sold him. But when they had acknowledged that, he could not refrain himself any longer. He said, "Cause every man to go out save them." He said, "I am Joseph." Children, that's why I admonish you time and again. Get to know Jesus down here. Don't be called from this walk of life to stand before one you don't know. "I am Joseph." They stood speechless. You won't open your mouth before God. But then he said, "Come near." And he got them near and he embraced them, kissed them, an act of reconciliation. And then they all talked. Now they know. I don't know if he had a beard. I suspect that the youthful visage of his face, I suspect that it had begun to wrinkle somewhat because of the hard life he had to live in Egypt. And folks, you can heed this warning or not and get to know your Joseph. Admit what you did, what it cost him. Now our Lord calls judgment in Isaiah 28 his strange work. I don't like to do that. I don't want to do that. But God will send every single soul to hell that spurns the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us. And God will do a strange work. Let me give you one of the stanzas, William Cowper's old hymn. And I would plead with you to remember this, dear child of God, when providence seems to work contrary to the promise of God, or different, God appears to you different than his nature that you've heard about and read. William Cowper said, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Sometimes God will appear angry at you. God will appear as though he has cast you off. But if you can just remember, behind that dark providence, that frowning providence of God, behind that frowning face of Joseph, behaving himself strange to them, speaking roughly to them, there was a heart, oh, such a heart for them. Our God delights in mercy. Our God rests in his love, and he never acts out of wrath towards a child. I had an old high school friend. He came by, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. I hadn't seen him in over 30 years. I'd heard about him from time to time. He was a professor at LSU, and When he left down there, he moved 4 or 5 miles, 4 or 5 hours away from where he was raised. But he came in, one of the boys was there, and they let him in, told him where I was, and he came in, he just sat down on that chair in there. He said, "You've got a nice library here. And just general conversation for a little bit." Then he said, "You don't know me, do you?" I said, "No. No, I don't know you." And he said, "I am He had a beard. I'd seen him one time since graduation, high school graduation. He went on into the military because his parents couldn't afford a college education. And he served for 4 years and got out and got his doctorate degree, has authored a book or two. But lines on his face, that which was visible, due to his age. He'd lost his wife a couple of years or 3 years before due to cancer. And we sat there and talked. He brought up events in our lives. And we sat there and talked, and he said, when he stood up, "I don't know when I'll see you again." And he reached over and gave me a big embrace. Now, he was and is still remains someone in this world, has accomplished some notable things. But I didn't know him. His brothers, verse 8, knew him not. He had to make himself known to them. "I am Joseph." No man, woman, boy, girl, knows the Son. You can read about him and think, "Well, you know about Jesus." No man knows the Father. No man knows the Son except the Father reveals him to them. "I never would have known him had he not said, 'I am.'" Joseph's brothers would have went out again the third time, not recognizing or knowing who it was they were dealing with, until he said, "I am Joseph, your brother." They didn't know him apart from revelation. And the religious crowd missed the Lord of glory in his day, and our world is missing Christ today. For he became what he had never been. And no man looked for God in the flesh. Had Old Testament passages that they knew, but they couldn't apply it correctly because God had blinded their minds and their eyes. No man looked for the eternal Son of God to become man like they were. Though he performed many miracles, and some of them prophets had performed, but the one he performed, he opened the blind man's eyes. That had never been done before. Can't be done today, medically. Not one totally blind. many, many miracles only God could have done, yet they never acknowledged him to be who he said he was. And they crucified him because he made himself equal to God. God on earth had no place to lay his head. God, instead of received in worship, was mocked and ridiculed. And they're thinking, if he was God, he wouldn't tolerate that. And you're thinking, if God's, like the preacher said, just and holy, nobody can get away with sin, he wouldn't let me get away with it. Oh, you haven't. I often wonder, every time the dogs bark, though I've got a good idea, it did not affect her because her heart was so hard, but I wonder if Jezebel thought the judgment of God's near when she heard a dog bark, because the prophet told her, they're gonna lick up your blood. Probably not. They died without ever knowing who Jesus was. If you think you're going to depart life and get into glory without knowing Jesus, you're mistaken. And folk, you don't know me because somebody wrote a book about me. Or you don't know me because somebody said this or thus about me. You know me because we walk together. We commune. We fellowship. I know you. I mean, I don't know. You know. Well, we don't even know ourselves as far as that goes. But I do know you. Well, if he was God, he would not tolerate all this, and came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and a king would have rode in a chariot. Somebody before him saying, bow the knee. Joseph made himself strange, so our Lord Jesus will make himself strange to all that he intends on saving. He won't appear to you as this loving little Jesus. He'll appear to you as the judge on the bench demanding your total obedience to all the law of God. He'll demand it. He'll appear strange. He's not going to come to you as Jesus that loves you. He's going to come to you as the king on the throne. And he'll never reveal himself to you. Made himself strange, spoke roughly to them, and he'll never reveal himself to you until you acknowledge who you are. That's just a sinner. And what he did, you're not going to get into heaven apart from that.